Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they are written for our correction upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground. And thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's Gospel, we see our Lord who comes to Jerusalem, which is the beloved city of the Jews, and as he thinks about what will take place and what is happening there within that city, he weeps over the city. It's evident that there were things that were going on that despite the fact that they had the true religion, that the Messiah had come to them, that nevertheless they still were obstinate in their ways. And they were behaving in a way which was, of course, not according to what their religion taught. They had the true religion of the Old Testament. And he weeps over it because they did not correspond, and thus they bring down the punishment of God because of it. And he prophesies here in the gospel, that he says that the whole city will be destroyed, and that stone in the temple stone will not be left upon stone, which he is literally correct in that, because that historically is exactly what happened, and he predicted that. It's because of their infidelity, because of the fact that they still chose to do what their pagan counterparts wanted them to do. And if we look in the epistle for today's Mass, we see St. Paul talking to the Christians about the fact that they can't behave like the pagans, the others around them that do not have the faith. And this was a problem, and he's preaching about it. Still a problem today. Still a big problem today. If our Lord wept over the city of Jerusalem, even more so would he weep today over people today and what they do. You know, as I say, the Jews had the true religion. They had the temple. The temple was the center of worship for the entire Jewish world. And when they didn't have churches like we have, where the holy sacrifice is offered, they have one place where the sacrifice is offered, and it is in Jerusalem. And that infidelity is something that of course grieves our Lord, and of course because of it, the punishment of God comes down upon it. even within the confines of the temple, he is not very happy. And he casts out those who are buying and selling. And he says, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You know, so he wasn't even happy with what was going on within the confines of the temple. It's interesting, some of the commentaries of what they think really was going on in the temple at that point in time that made our Lord so angry was the fact that when people came to the temple, they came from distances, to come to the temple, and at the temple, sacrifices were offered. And so when they had people buying and selling, they were buying and selling animals that were meant to be sacrificed. And it wasn't that, because they couldn't really very well bring them with them. And so it wasn't necessarily that they were buying or selling. Notice it says, you have made a den of thieves. There's a problem of thievery going on in the temple. What some of the commentaries say is that they thought that those who were selling in the temple were such that they were selling the animals that had deformities or were not quite the best quality of animal. They were selling them at exorbitant prices. Okay. And so because of that, and here it is, it's meant to be for the sacrifice in the temple. Then, of course, they were taking money from those who were, of course, had no other place to go to get the animals. And so he was very upset about it. And so, therefore, he cast them out. And so it is, we think about it, and of course we think about what goes on in the world today, especially we apply that to our current situation. We of course see all of the things that are going on, and we like to point out all the difficulties. It's something that people like to talk about a lot. They spend endless hours on the radio, internet, talk show hosts. All these kinds of things, they talk about all the things that are going on, and they all have their solutions as to what's going on. But of course, one thing that's always the case is they are never part of the problem. And in truth, we are part of the problem with what's going on today. The worldliness, the godlessness, the pagan activities, those kinds of things, we are part of the problem. And we have to look at ourselves. It's important for us to reflect on ourselves, where we fail. It's easy to look at where everybody else has failed and say, yeah, I can see that's where they all failed. That doesn't do anything. And in fact, actually, it puffs us up with pride because we are like the Pharisee who says, I'm not like the rest of men who do all these bad things. Well, but there's in other ways we participate in what the corruption that's going on in the kind of life that there is. And when you start doing an examination of conscience, you start looking around your home, you kind of look at what kind of activities you yourselves participate in, which connect yourself to the world. You start to see what kind of amusements and things that are available, which you participate in. You see the kind of how people maybe cheat when it comes to the way they dress, the way they act, the way they speak. You know, they pick up these things from the pagan world and they make it their own, even traditional Catholics. And you don't have to think too hard to see where in your own life that's the way it is. And so it's important for us to take the time to think, realize where we fail, where it is that our Lord is grieved over us, and where we need to make the changes. You know, we read about the great saints, and we read about the generosity that they have, and the fact that they are truly heroic in what they do. Why are we such wimps? Why do we not follow that idea? Are we not here to become saints? Are we here just to try to get by? Hardly. Hardly. You know, in many ways, we have a tendency to take in and want to assimilate the things that are around us, and we have a tendency to take those kinds of things in and think we want to have to be like that. it's poor fallen human nature that it ends up being like that. And it's not just a problem for youth. As we grow older, we want to take these things in, you know. We take in the things of the world and we want to make them part of us. In many times, you hear different things about the entertainments and such that people involve themselves in, and you talk about the problem of video games for kids and such. Well, you know what? It's not just a problem for kids. Some adults spend hours in front of those machines as well. So, anyway, that's just an example. An example. You know, nothing better to do with your time than that. God's only a prayer away, and your time is idling away with all these kinds of other things without even thinking of Him, without even considering Him, without Him being at least a part of your life. He needs to be not just a part of your life, He needs to be the most important part of your life. And we have to take stock on that and try to see where it is. You know, the Jews, even though they had a true religion, everything they had, they did not have God as their focal point of their life. They didn't. And that's what grieves our Lord. They were involved in all kinds of other kinds of things. And that's why it's typified by what He finally did when He went into the temple and threw them out. You're not in the temple to come to adore God. You're out in the temple to make money. Get out. You know? So, anyway, and money is the figure of material things, of sensual things, of the things of the world. And so we need to consider this. We need to think about what it is we're here for. Think about what we need to do. Realize that people before us, the saints, did much in order to give God the honor and glory that was due to Him, and kept in their mind, first and foremost, that He was number one. And live their life as such. That's what we need to work at every day. We have to remember, and we have to rid ourselves of those attachments, detach ourselves from those things, which pull us away from that. In this world, there are many attachments we can have, and many people do have a lot of attachments. So I have to work at them one by one. Get rid of them. Get them out. Get them either out of the house, get them out of your life. So work to be generous. Work to understand what we need to do so that our Lord doesn't weep over us, so that we are not thrown out of the eternal Jerusalem, which is heaven, because of our attachments. Contrarywise, we want to be such that God is pleased with what we do, and that when we seek entrance into that heavenly Jerusalem, which is above, that God admits us there and He welcomes us with open arms, saying, "In that good and faithful servant, come into my house where you'll be for all eternity." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.